All right, next type of diagnostic test is what we call nuclear medicine scans. Nuclear medicine scans use radioisotopes. What is a radioisotope? Okay, it's an isotope that gives off radiation. What's an isotope? Got it? All right, what's the most famous radioisotope? Okay, well, uranium does have isotopes, but they're all radioactive. What's the most famous one? They can be. They can also be positive. So, how many of you ever heard of carbon-14? Oh, yeah. What is... All right, so what is carbon? Come on, what's carbon?
Everything is made up of.
Okay, what everything is made up of, and what's it called? What is sodium? What is gold? What is lead? What is oxygen? What is chloride or chlorine? Come on, I'm naming things off of that.
Elements,
thank you, they're elements. So, elements are a collection of similar atoms, right? All the same type of atom. Now, what makes an atom unique? What makes this atom different from this atom? Okay, electrons, but what determines the correct number of electrons? Protons. So, carbon has how many protons ordinarily? Six. Now, normal carbon is what we call carbon-12. Carbon-12. And it's called carbon-12 because it has six protons plus six neutrons. So carbon-12. Now, carbon-14, how many protons does it have? Six. So the number of protons determines the element. But how many neutrons does it have? It has two extra. It has eight. So those extra neutrons are what causes the instability and makes it radioactive. So when we say a radioisotope, we're talking about using atoms that have the same number of protons but a different number of neutrons that makes them unstable. Now, why would we want to do such a thing? I mean, didn't we say that nuclear radiation causes nuclear poisoning and kills people in 24 and in real life too? Why would we do this to a person? Just in general, why would we want to use radioisotopes in a person's body? So you can see stuff. Okay. So, for example, one of the most common ones we use in medicine is radioactive iodine. Now, there's only one organ in your entire body that uses iodine. What organ is that? Your thyroid gland. So, if we inject radioactive iodine into the body, where's it going to go? To the thyroid gland. So, what we can do is we're going to inject you with radioactive iodine, and then we're going to look at the thyroid gland with a special instrument that measures radiation. And what you look for is what we call hot spots and cold spots. Now, what do you think a hot spot is? More or less absorption of our radioisotope? More. What's a cold spot? Less. So hot spots could be signs of abnormal metabolic activity, which might be a cancer or a tumor. A cold spot might be a sign that it's dead, that it's not working right. So the two things we look for when we use radioisotopes is hot spots and cold spots. Hot spots are signs of excess metabolic activity, perhaps a cancer, and cold spots are signs of less metabolic activity, possibly dead tissue, or at least defective tissue. So some examples of things we can use, of things we can do with nuclear medicine. One is called a HIDA scan. Now, you don't need to know what the letters stand for. In fact, you don't want to know what they stand for. What you do want to know is that we use these to measure or to track the biliary tree. So what is the biliary tree? Okay, so where biliary colic occurs, good. It's the liver produces the bile and then sends it through the biliary tree to the gallbladder. So it's measuring those little series of ducts. So sometimes we get a blockage in one of them, and we can use a HIDA scan to look for that. IVP stands for intravenous pyelogram. Now, a pyelogram is a picture of the kidney. So what we do is we inject a radioactive dye into the body, goes through the kidney, and then we can look at the kidney and see where the kidney is filtering. A bone scan. What we do is we inject them with a radioactive isotope that's taken up by bone marrow. And so you can look and take a look at bone marrow activity. Now, the major reason for bone scans is detecting cancer. What's the major reason for a bone scan? Detect cancer. Detect cancer where? In the bones. Gosh, that made a lot of sense. Then we have the thyroid uptake scan. We had just described that one a second ago. And then we have a thallium test. This is a heart test, and we'll talk about the heart tests all together in a few minutes. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that's called contrast. That's a little bit different. Contrast is a dye that's radio opaque, which means that it absorbs X-rays. So what it does is it helps to highlight an area that you're studying.
Oh, so like the barium?
Like a barium swallow, barium enema. Yeah. Right. Okay, I think I forgot MRIs, but we'll go back and do MRIs in a minute. Cardiovascular tests. There's quite a lot of different cardiovascular tests. The very first one, we've already talked about echocardiogram. What is an echocardiogram? Ultrasound of the heart. Now, why would we do an ultrasound of the heart? What would we look for? Say again? Okay, we can look at the movement and function of that heart. So what you can look at is you can see the size, you can see what we call the motion of the walls or motility of the ventricular walls. We can also see valve function. Now, when we look at the motility of the walls, we can calculate that thing we talked about the other day, the measurement of efficiency of a heart pump. What's that called? Stroke volume divided by end diastolic volume. Not cardiac output. Cardiac output is stroke volume times heart rate. So stroke volume, and divide that by the amount of blood there was before the stroke volume. Ejection fraction. So you can use ultrasounds of the heart to measure the size, wall motion, ejection fraction, and murmurs. And some other structural defects. Like, say, if our little baby didn't have its foramen ovale closed properly. Okay, MUGA. MUGA is a nuclear medicine test that does the exact same thing as an echocardiogram. So why would we do a MUGA instead of an echocardiogram? Go ahead and ask. Because it gives you a better picture. It's more clear. You get a better resolution. But it's more expensive. So you get a better picture, but it's more expensive. Let's skip down to the bottom for a moment. TEE stands for transesophageal echocardiogram. Now, what does the word trans mean? What? Across or through. So, transesophageal, where do you think we're coming from? From the esophagus. So what we're going to do is we're going to send the person down to the GI lab, and they're going to swallow a camera. Well, not a camera. They're going to swallow an ultrasound probe. And that ultrasound probe is going to go down their esophagus and then look at the heart. And we're going to do an echocardiogram of their heart through the esophagus. Why would we want to do that? That sounds like an awful lot of trouble. I mean, doesn't it? Not to look for closed arteries, but I mean, why would we go through all that trouble? Why wouldn't we just go through the front? Well, it's more invasive than just putting the probe in the front of the on the chest. See more what? Different angle. So, when you do a normal echocardiogram, where are they coming from? From the front. So, you're looking at the heart from the front. When you swallow, you know, when you swallow the ultrasound probe and you get the transesophageal one, where are you looking from? You're looking from the back. So, it gives you a much better picture of the atria. The reason we would do a transesophageal echocardiogram is if we want to get a better look at the atria. The major reason for this is going to be in a patient who has blood pooling in their atria. Remember we said there's a condition where the atria don't pump properly? What was that called? Remember this? What was that called? Fibrillation. So atrial fibrillation. In atrial fibrillation, the blood just kind of hangs out in the atria. And what we say that blood that hangs out does? Clots. So if we're going to try and fix that person and get their heart pumping again, we want to check to see if there's clots in their atria before we do that. Because if there is a clot, what have we just done to that poor patient? Probably killed them, given them a stroke or a massive pulmonary embolism. Either way, not good for the patient. All right, come back up to ECG. What is an ECG? Electrocardiogram. So we're measuring the electrical activity of the heart. A Holter monitor. A Holter monitor is an electrocardiogram that you, instead of like printing out to a paper, it records it onto a little device. And so what we do is we hook the person up and we send them home with the device, and it's going to record continuously, usually for a 24-hour period. You know, because have you ever had a problem with your car? It was making a noise. You take it in to the mechanic, and they say, I can't find anything wrong with it. But it was making it just the other day. And so you take it home, and then on the way home, it starts making it again. She's like, oh, so quick, let's turn around. We get back, and it's not doing it anymore. Sometimes people have the same trouble with their heart. They're like, I feel like my heart just like is racing. And like they measure your heart, it looks fine right now. Well, it's not doing it right now. It only happens when Holter monitor is a way we can test outside of the hospital or outside of the clinic. We can test their hearts. It's called a Holter monitor.